you declared, we declared through those songs that with creation I sing, joining with all creation, that our God is everything to us and makes a way. Jesus made a way. He is our way maker and desires to touch everyone's heart. I just thought those words were significant as we sang them. Try and remember them as we go through this morning's talk. This has been a talk I've grappled with for 2 weeks. I've grappled with for 2 weeks, and I've struggled a bit with this. I've been wrestling with God. He laid this on my heart, and I put together this talk, giving four scriptures. And every time I've looked at it over the past couple of weeks, even yesterday, in myself, I feel a little uneasy about it. That it seems clunky. And I've just had, and I recognize that it is me, and I know God gave me these scriptures, so unless I am hearing him wrong, and I don't believe I am, because it's been confirmed. But I know it's me getting in the way. I just feel a little ill at ease about this. So I'm going to do the talk. It can't flow in the same way as it normally does, and maybe that's God's plan. I don't know, but there are bits in here that are pertinent for certain individuals. I don't think the whole. I don't know. Let's give it to God. Father God, I'm going to do what Heather says. Go for it. And rely on your Spirit to lead us through this. All I would ask, Father, is that your words, your words alone, not my words, your words, find their way into our hearts, that we are affected by them. So as I've received them, I give them out, Lord. But it's you who work through them. May that always be the case. Amen. So, God in the detail and the big picture. And as you gaze perhaps at that picture on the screen, you're seeing the picture open up, and maybe you're looking to that goal, the destination. Or maybe you're looking at all those individual steps that you're going to have to walk up. Or maybe you're going to choose the slightly easier. I felt God clearly saying to me that we need to look at the big picture. and the detail and think about us, the big picture and the detail. And are we, and when I say we, I'm including me in this, are we squeezing God out? Are we pushing him to the side? So this came to me a couple of Tuesdays ago. I was sitting in the back garden and just loving it. You know, the sunshine, the quiet, because Jackie was away. She'd off to Stanford to do her weekly duties as a grandmother, and William, I dropped him off at his day service. So I was sitting in the garden and just loving the sunshine and the relative quiet and stillness, and looking around, and the flowers all in bloom, and I just marvelled at the number of the mini flying beasts that come into the garden. And I just, we talk about creation, it's a big ticket theme, and when we think about, when we really think about all the detail that goes into that creation. So, just to get started, a little quiz. How well do you know the detail? So collectively, God's creation, or part of his creation, what are those mini beasts? What are they? Insects. Do you know what top? Cabbage white. Some view them as a pest, I love the way they flutter. They seem carried away by the wind. They get knocked about a bit, but they're lovely. This one. Yeah. Anybody know the name? No, it's a. Yeah, that's a dragon. He's a common darter. Not doing any darting there, he's standing on our washing line. This one? Tortoiseshell, yeah. This one's a bit hard, partly because I'm doing this on my camera phone, so it's really hard. If you can see his bottom, that gives a clue as to what his name is. It's a buff-bottomed bee. Buff-bottomed bee. This one? Honeybee. Honeybee, yeah, or drone flight. So. Come on, they were. Gatekeeper. Uh-huh. Almost think of Jesus as being a gatekeeper. This one. It is a moth. Can you see his long proboscis? And his wings are going 10 to the dozen, like a particular bird. Hummingbird. He's a humming hawkbot. Hummingbird hawkbot. Yeah, and they were all in our back garden, along with a multitude of others. I really felt God say to me, you have to look for me, not only in the big picture, but also in the detail. And then he laid some scriptures. So this is the first one we're going to consider. And we just think of the backdrop of, 10 or 11 chapters before this. You see David talking with God, and he's saying to God, you've appointed me a king over this nation, your people, and I have a fantastic palace, yet we're worshipping you in a tent. It doesn't seem right that I've got this wonderful palace and you've got a tent at the place that you inhabit. Let me build you a temple, a magnificent temple. And as we read through Chronicles, God is saying, no, it's not for you. It wasn't God's plan. That wasn't the goal. It will be for someone after you. So we pick up the story here. Heather, will you read it for us?
Then David gave his son Solomon plans for the portico of the temple, its buildings, its storerooms, its upper parts, its inner rooms, and the place of atonement. He gave him the plans of all that the Spirit had put in his mind for the courts of the temple of the Lord, and all the surrounding rooms, for the treasuries of the temple of God, and for the treasuries for the dedicated things. All this, David said, I have in writing as a result of the Lord's hand on me, and he enabled me to understand all the details of the plan.
Thank you. So there we see mentioned plans and detail. And they were the things that were sticking out to me. You know, we're thinking of creation, look also at the detail. It wasn't part of God's plan for David to build a temple. Solomon would come and do that. But he clearly told David, I have in writing. I don't know if David received a document of some sort, or whether his spirit connected with the Lord's and he wrote it under God's instruction. Doesn't really matter. But he enabled me to understand all the details of the plan. David had an idea, a vision, a goal. God said, no, we're going to do it this way. And gave him all the fine detail of how to build that. And you can read that also in Chronicles. We have to be like David. We've got to walk in step with God's plan and the detail of that plan. We have to be listening, talking to God. And over the years, I've heard people say, but God doesn't speak to me. And I don't believe that is true. I know that God is speaking to each and every one of us individually and corporately all the time. If we say God doesn't speak to me, that's a lie promoted by the enemy. Dawn put a message on Facebook. It's one of the things that confirmed to me on WhatsApp this week. You know, if you want to hear the word of God, listen to the spoken word. You know, read it out for yourself, out loud, or listen to an audible Bible. You know, there are so many out there. You know, I'm quite enjoying listening to David Suchet at the moment, reading the word of God. It's God speaking to us. I went round to see Gareth the other day with William. We just popped in as we were walking around the village. And we walked back through the churchyard. Something I've done hundreds of times. And as we were walking through, my eye caught a gravestone. And on that gravestone is written, this is an old gravestone, so it's written in King James. And not an unsurprising verse to find. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we face a climate crisis, a financial crisis, war in Ukraine. You know, there are so many black things around. We know so many people who are struggling with ill health. But that verse spoke to me. As I was walking back, I was reflecting on all the things and what we're doing as a village to try and assist folks with some of these things. But thanks be to God, which give us the victory through Lord Jesus Christ. They're written on a gravestone. Were words of God speaking to me as I was reflecting on the gloomy things of life. There was God saying, The victory is ours through my Son, Jesus Christ. God speaks to us all the while if we're listening. If we're looking. Whether we're sitting in our back garden and going, wow, isn't creation wonderful? Or reading his word or listening to his word. And he will make clear to us what his plans and purposes is. And he will unfold the detail of those when the time is right. We need to be like David, setting aside our plans, our purposes for his. So the next passage that God laid on my heart was this. Dawn, would you read it for us, please? So here we have Luke describing Paul's journeys around the Mediterranean. And he's saying, arriving at Jerusalem, and I'm not sure they expected to be greeted warmly. There had been some tension between Paul and the church, but nonetheless, they were greeted warmly, and all the leaders, everyone, went to meet with Paul. And Paul reported in detail. Detail was important. What had been done amongst the Gentiles? Remember that Jesus had said to his disciples, go into the world and make disciples of all men. No longer was it just a message for the Jews, the Gentiles. But it wasn't what Paul had done. It was God's plan Jesus' plan for that ministry to take place and to spread the good news. But the detail was what God had done, not what Paul had done, what God had done. And we can so very easily squeeze God out of the picture. We can hear that commandment of Jesus, go out and make disciples. Oh, I have a good idea. We'll have an outreach program and we'll do this and this and this. I've got the detail. I have got the detail sorted out. That's not the way Paul operated. He spent time with God and followed God's heart, God's vision, and God did it. We have to be yielded to God. Not my will, not my idea, not my plan, not my vision. We take those ideas to God. Is this, you know, I take you back to Youth for Christ when they contacted me out of the blue, and I went off to Norwich and meet them, and I didn't say a dicky bird other than to Jackie that I was going to see them, and I came back quite excited in my spirit, but thinking, I don't see how we're going to go ahead with anything with Youth for Christ. And Jack stood up and just said, I feel God is saying to me, without knowing that I'd met with Norwich Youth for Christ, without knowing, stood up and said that God had laid it on his heart that we should be working with Norwich Youth for Christ. You know, that's not me saying we should work with Youth for Christ. That isn't Jack saying we should work with Youth for Christ. That's God bringing things together. And we need to be tuned in, whether it's big goals, big ideas, or small things. Is God in this? Does God want us to do this? And how and when and who does God want to be doing this? Because if we're yielded to God, then we will yield the fruit, because it will be God's plans and his power, his will be in it. He will work out the detail. He'll work out the big picture. Also, hasn't he done that wonderfully well with creation? Despite man's best efforts? You look at some of those images and you see that butterfly and you see the intricacy, the pigmentation, the differences on its wings, the fineness of the antenna, the cellular structure within it. He works out the detail. Debbie, you just turn to Genesis chapter 1, the very last verse, and read the first sentence, please.
God saw all that he had made, and it was very good.
It was very good. It was very good. All that God plans and brings into being is very good. It can't really do it. God, we sing it, God is good, all the time. He can't do anything other. We can sometimes do good things and sometimes do some pretty terrible things. God does good things, plans in detail good things. And if we're yielded to God, we will yield the blessings of that. For some folk, that sounds a bit scary. Jackie, would you read that for us, please? God laid this on my heart. It took me a while to get to grips with it in the context of where we were going. Sparrows, not a lot of meat on them. They're tiny little things, don't have a lot of value except to God. Not one of them is forgotten by God. Not one of them. Not one of those little flying beasts is forgotten. Yesterday I got up and went into the dining room, and there on the floor of the dining room was this big fat bumblebee, and it was completely static. And I thought, is it alive? Is it dead? Is it flown against the window, patio window, so often it's exhausted itself and given up? And I put a piece of paper underneath it and scooped it up, and I'm saying to God, please let him live. And I take him outside. We've got some giant thistles that have thistle heads that have burst into bloom, and the bees just love them. They're just rich with pollen. You see them, they're like little mice, they're crawling around in all this pollen. And I laid this bumblebee still static in the top of it, and then slowly it started to notice the pollen. And I don't know whether it ingests it or does something with it or what, but it became revived, and I didn't see it fly off, but suddenly it wasn't there, and it wasn't laying in the bottom of the pot. It had disappeared. Because God knows that bee is important. But so are we. God knows us so very well. He knows the detail of the hairs on our head. Now, some of us have a bit more than others. If John were here, we would probably be smiling at John and his not so much hair. But whether we've got thousands of hairs or very few, God knows the detail of us. He knows our thoughts before we've even constructed those thoughts. He knows what's going on in our life. All those negative things I was thinking about as I walked through the churchyard. All those gloomy things. He knows all that. And tells us, don't be afraid. I know that you're suffering with this and that, that you've got anxieties about this and that, you're struggling with, but don't be afraid, because to me, to your Father God, you're worth much more than those sparrows, and He cares about those sparrows. He cared about that bumblebee. Cares about us. He knows the detail of our lives. We just need to come before Him and succumb to Him, succumb to His will. Finally, sort of, we come to this passage in Proverbs. To humans belong the plans of the heart, But from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked, for a day of disaster. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Now, we're just going to look at that same passage, but in the Passion Translation. John, would you mind Debbie, would you mind reading that passage?
Go ahead and make all the plans you want, but it's the Lord who will ultimately direct your steps. We are all in love with our own opinions, but the Lord is in the midst of us, testing and probing our every motive. Before you do anything, put your trust totally in God and not in yourself. Then every plan you make will succeed. The Lord works everything together to accomplish his purpose. Even the wicked are included in his plans. He sets them aside for the day of disaster. Within your heart, you can make plans for your future, but the Lord chooses the steps you take to get there.
Go ahead and make all the plans you want. The Lord will ultimately direct your steps. It's a bit oblique, it's a bit challenging when we try and read it in the NIV. To humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. Here's a way of looking at it. As you know, we have really, really good relationships with St. Mary's. You know, Stephen and Emma, who lead St. Mary's, are singing from the same hymn sheet, if you like, as us. We can pray with them, we can worship with them, we can do the food bank with them, and we've got ideas for doing something else during the winter with them to serve our community. So we have a really good relationship with them. In the context of this verse, just imagine that Stephen has done something that annoys, upsets, hurts me deeply, and I'm feeling aggrieved. So I could sit down and write him a stiff letter saying how I feel and how he ought to get on his knees and apologize to me. That would be my plan. My plan of the heart. I'm responding to my feelings. But if I took those feelings to God and laid them before Jesus and said, look, you know how I'm feeling. You know that I want to sort this out, God. Give me the words. Give me the way. Because, you know, if someone's done something against us, it's not totally wrong to feel hurt and want to find a solution. But if my response is not in love, if my response is equally unjust, if my response is not driving towards greater unity, then it's not helpful. It's not godly. I need the proper answer to come from God, and I need God to speak. So I think this is one way of looking at that opening verse. There will be times when our feelings, our feelings, drive us to want to do something. And we need to make sure that where we're being driven is where God wants us to go. He wants us to do that. He wants us to say that, or not say that, or not do that. Time for doing and the time for not doing. You know, but it's God's timing. We are all in love with our own opinions. Sometimes our partners can see that for us more than we can. Convinced they're correct. But the Lord is in the midst of us, testing and probing our every motive. If we let him. I'm right! I'm not going to listen to God. Might tell me something different. I'm right. Dawn should never have done that. I'm right. We must yield ourselves to God. Allow him to test us and probe us. Before you do anything, put your trust totally in God and not yourself. Then every plan you make will succeed, because we'll be following God's plan, not a plan we've constructed ourselves and excluded God from. We've invited him to bless or not the plan. If God's not in it, I don't want to be doing it. If we sit down and we think it'd be a good idea to do this, if we don't put God is supporting that, we've not received confirmation, then let's not do it. The Lord works everything together to accomplish his purpose. You know, he works everything, even my mistakes, even when I go off the rails. God can use that situation for good, because as we've seen, he only does good. Even the plans of the enemy, he can take the destructive, lying traps that the enemy sets and bring good out of them. And he will deal. It's not for me to deal with. He will deal with the enemy in the fullness of time, in God's time. You know, we have a multitude of pictures in our heads of what hell may look like, and you know that there are pictures in the Bible also. But you know, it's just complete and utter separation from God. That, you know, there can be no greater horror than complete separation from God. And that's what God will do. He will set them aside, completely separate. But that's for God to do. The judging, the just judging is for God to do. So within your heart, within my heart, our hearts, we can make plans for the future. But the Lord chooses the steps you take. You are, God will have spoken to you at different times about the goals, the journey, where you're going. And he will also set out those steps. But we have to be listening and responding. We don't just hear with our eyes, their hearts. We don't just hear with our ears, but with our hearts. You have heard God speak several times this morning as people have read his word. Between you and God, what he's been saying to you this morning. But I pray that you've not only heard those words, but they're nestling in your heart and driving forward your next steps. You know, I was reminded again that God spoke that prophecy in 2019. I just want to remind you of a couple of paragraphs in it. You are to be channels for my bright burning light. My light will remove the areas of darkness over Martham and the lost therein. Villages, towns and cities, both near and far, will observe and be affected by the outpouring of my glory on Martham. No longer will you see barrenness and desolation in Martham, but instead new life in abundance as the people come to know my son. We have been given a glimpse at a big picture for this area through that prophecy. There are steps described in the prophecy that we are required to take. And God will reveal in his time further steps that we need to take. We need to be praying into that prophecy. We need to be listening to God and responding to loving the big picture, but working with him step by step as he reveals the detail. Let's pray. Father God, you have spoken again to us this morning. We ask for those words that you have laid individually and corporately in our hearts, the ones that have special resonance, that we relate to. It stirs our spirit. It might only be two or three words, but those words you're breathing into us. Those words are carrying life within us. And I pray, Lord, that we will continue to listen, to remain focused on your will, your purposes, your goal, and that tiny detail that you're oh so interested in, that we will be walking in step with you, in step with your plans and purposes for us and all the people that we meet. Oh Lord, I ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, your loving Son. Amen. Amen. Oh, that's right, you're back.